that his mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I am grateful to Pastor Larry for the invitation to come and share my convictions with you. And pray for me. I'm extremely nervous. Grateful to have my wife and our son, one of our three children. Our oldest is approaching her senior year at Marshall University. She is a chemistry major, and for the first time in her college career, made the dean's list. Amen. Thank you. We're very excited about that. And then our middle son recently turned 16, and he is a burgeoning basketball star. He has a game today at noon. He is preparing for that. Now, I did all of that talking to give you a moment to form an opinion about me. So since you've done that, would you get your Bibles? I'm going to relax in a second, I promise. Get your Bibles. Turn to the book of Ephesians. Chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Our focus verse is going to be verse 10, but I'm going to read verses 8, 9, and 10. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
If you're still looking, say wait. All right. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, verse 9, and then our focus verse will be verse 10. Is everybody there? For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this, not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that God has beforehand prepared for us to do. We are God's workmanship. The King James says, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God hath prepared for us to do. I don't have a fancy title today. I take this particular word from the text, and I just want to tell everybody today that you are God's workmanship. You are his masterpiece. Father, thank you for this opportunity to preach a word. It is holy and we are dust. But you promised that the Holy Spirit would speak to us that which he has received of you. And so, Lord, we pray that you would remember and honor your word. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts and open our understandings. Would you teach us today by your word, by the power and presence of your spirit, what it means to be your handiwork, your masterpiece. Thank you for this word. Thank you in advance for the fruit that shall come in our lives because of your word. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You are God's workmanship. You are his handiwork. You are God's masterpiece. Failure. Mistake. Flop. A waste of time. Useless. Have you ever heard these words describing other people? Have you ever heard these words describing yourself? Has somebody ever said that to you? You know, you're really just a waste of time. Have you ever had, do you know what it feels like to hear those words spoken to you? I want to tell you from my own experience, I want to tell you that it's no fun hearing someone say that to you. It's no fun. It's not, doesn't feel good. It doesn't make you feel good about yourself when you hear words like that. The Bible has something vastly different to say about you. I want you to know that God has a high opinion of you. He thinks very highly of you. In fact, what Paul says to the Ephesian believers after they receive salvation through Jesus Christ, what he says to them is, you are God's masterpiece. This word in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, this word workmanship is the Greek word poema. Poema, which means a thing of beauty or a masterwork. You are God's masterwork. Took me a long time. It took me a long time to reconcile this within myself. But when I came to understand who I am because of what Jesus Christ made me, it caused me to live my life in the world in a way in which I have the ability to empower other people with this same message that you are. Listen, I'm a big guy. Y'all didn't know that, did you? I'm a big guy. And I want to tell you, this is a joke. I want to tell you that when God made me, I broke the mold. Ah, that was funny. I told you it was a joke. I want to tell you that you are so special to God. He had you so much in his mind that after he made you, he broke the mold. There's not another one like you on the planet. You may Google yourself and find millions of people with your name, but there's not one that's like you. Because God created and designed you uniquely with special gifts, with special talents, with special abilities that no one else can work in this world but you. And God created you for his purpose. And that's really what I want to tell you today. I really want to tell you that God created you with purpose. For purpose, on purpose. You're not a mistake. You're not an afterthought. You're not an oops. You are uniquely designed to be living in the era in which you live to fulfill God's purpose in and through your life. You are created with purpose. You are created for purpose. You are created on purpose. Does that resonate with anybody in the room today? I'm a Baptist preacher. You got to talk back to me. Would you get your Bible and turn to the book of Genesis real quick? Oh, y'all put your Bibles down? Get your Bible, man. We in church. You need your Bible. Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, around verse 16, 17, it says that God created man in his image, in the image of God. He created him, both male and female. He created them. Do you realize that when God created you, he put himself into his work? Do you realize that there is a godness, a God-likeness that resides in every person who's ever been born of a woman? And that is not because God wants us to be him. He wants us to be like him. You and I are created with the purpose of being image bearers. You and I are to bear the image of God and the likeness of God in the earth so that those around us who do not know him have an opportunity to see him and get to know him through us. You are created with purpose, and that purpose is to be an image bearer. He created you in his image, which means that if he created me in his image, then I must bear some of his character. Yes. Yes. You are created in such a way that God poured himself so much into his work that he bore his character in his creation. That's why we have the ability to love. That's why we have the ability to get angry, because God got angry. He loved, he got angry. That's why we have the ability, that because he poured his image into you. And he poured his image into you for the purpose of sharing his image with the world. Does that make sense? You are created to be his image bearer. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that God had beforehand, or God prepared in advance for us to do. You are his workmanship. You are his masterpiece. You are his masterwork. You are his handiwork. The Bible says in the Psalms that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth forth his handiwork. And you and I, as his image bearers, are the height of his creation. What is man that you are mindful of him, Psalm 8 says, and the son of man that you would visit him? For you have created him a little lower than the, you are the crown of God's glory. I don't know if anybody's ever told you that in these terms before, but the word of God teaches us that we are the crown of his glory, because we are created in his image and in his likeness. You're God's workmanship. You're a masterpiece. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Now, I want to tell you that this masterwork has a prerequisite qualification. And the verse suggests that the prerequisite qualification is being in Christ Jesus. You are God's workmanship. I like to read this verse and delete the word we and put my name in there. Delbert is God's workmanship. I'd encourage you to do the same with your own Bible. Just scratch that we out and put your name in there. I am God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. How am I created in Christ Jesus? That's a great question. That's a good theological question. In order for us to understand what it means to be created in Christ Jesus, you actually have to look at the two previous verses, which say, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I need you to understand that the prerequisite qualification for being God's masterpiece, becoming his handiwork, has to do with the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. When you apply the finished work of salvation to your life, then you become, then you take on, then you realize, you come, it comes to fruition, the truth of this verse that I am his workmanship. As long as I stay disconnected from him, I can't be the masterwork that he called and created me to be. And I want to encourage somebody on this Memorial Day weekend. I want to encourage someone to be what God has called and created you to be, and to do what God has called and created you to do, and to become what he has called and created you to become. You are God's masterpiece. Don't let anybody trample on that name in your life. You're the best work that God made. He created you with purpose. He created you for purpose. Has anyone ever asked the question, why am I here? You could be honest. Go ahead, raise your hand. Anybody? Yeah. Okay, you won't raise your hand. I'll raise my hand for you. Why am I here? Well, I want to tell you, that God didn't just create you to be an image bearer. But if you go back and you read the whole Genesis account, or the early Genesis account, you will find that what God wanted more than anything, you really see it right in Genesis chapter 3. You don't have to turn there. You can go back and read it. You've got time off tomorrow. You will find that what God wanted more than anything was someone with whom he could have constant fellowship. He wanted somebody that he could talk to that was outside of himself. You know, he's the triune God. He's cool. He's harmonious. He works harmoniously together within himself. But he created man. He created man in his image and in his likeness. He created man in his holiness. He created man, and man was in a state in which he constantly had fellowship with God. The Bible says that in the cool of the evening, God came down and he would talk to Adam. Now, I don't know about you, but I have a pretty vivid imagination. I grew up watching television. I'm a child of the 70s and the 80s. So I'm a TV kid, so I have a vivid imagination. And I can imagine God coming down in the evening having conversations with Adam that kind of went something like this. Hey, Adam, what's going on, man? If I were to put it in the modern vernacular, I have not written that version of the Bible yet. Hey, Adam, how you doing? You know, I'm doing pretty good today, God, you know. I was having a little issue with the strawberries, but, you know, we got that in order, and they seem to be nice and plump now, really juicy. Well, that's good, man. You know, how are things going with you and Eve? Are we doing okay? It's a little bossy sometimes. Oh, I'm sorry. I haven't written that version yet. I'm sorry. I want you to understand that God wants to have fellowship with you. He created you to be his image bearer. But then he also created you to have fellowship with you. Listen, what's the point of having children if you never spend time with them? Can I tell you about my middle son? My middle son, he's 16 now, and so he doesn't want to have a whole lot to do with dad because he's 16. You know, when you're 16, you know everything. Okay, maybe you weren't 16 once. When I was 16, I knew everything. And so my son is 16, he knows everything. But can I tell you something? When my son was 6, we had I have a music room in my house where I keep my instruments, you know, my keyboard and my trumpet and the other instruments, the drum set and all that kind of stuff. And I had a sofa. I had a sofa in that room. My son, Kyle, when he was 6, Kyle would go in that room because he knew I spent a lot of time in there. I was really writing music hard then. And so he would go in that room, and he would sit up on the top of that sofa, like the Cheshire Cat. Man, y'all a slow crowd tonight. He would sit up on the sofa, and I'd go in there, and I'd be writing, or I'd be playing, or I'd be singing. And I'd look back and say, Kyle, what do you need? You need something? He'd say, no, Dad. I just want to be in here with you. I learned something in that. And what I learned is this, is that God wants to have that kind of relationship with you and with me. He wants to be so comfortable with us that he can just come in the room. That's that whole created in Christ Jesus thing. He wants to be able to just come in the room and sit on the sofa like the Cheshire Cat. Slow crowd, they missed it again. And he just wants to have time with you. Here's what the Word of God says. The Word of God says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. This is Psalm 1. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. His leaf will not wither. He'll bring forth his fruit in his season. And whatever he does will prosper. When you do, watch this, when you do the thing that God has called and created you to do with purpose, when you live out your God-ordained purpose, you allow God an opportunity to come in and sit with you. You're created with purpose. You are created for purpose. First Peter chapter 2 says that we have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light, that, here we go, with purpose, that we should show forth the praises of him who's called us. And so at some point, your purpose needs to extend beyond yourself, and it needs to get out where other people can see it, hear it, and experience it. Does that make sense? We're created for purpose. We're created with purpose. But you're created on purpose. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. To do good works. To do good works that God has prepared in advance for us to do. I want to challenge you, my friend. I want to challenge you today. I want to challenge you to discover what it is God has called and created you to do. I need you to understand that while we do not work to obtain salvation, once we are saved, there's a work process that needs to start for each of us. And it needs to happen in a way that God employs all of your gifts, all of your talents, and all of your abilities. There was a passage in Matthew chapter 25 that teaches a story about a man who was going on a journey, and he left with three of his servants some money. He put some money on three servants. To one servant, the Bible says he gave 5 talents of money. Another, he gave 2 talents of money. Another, he gave 1. Well, you know, you all been to Sunday school. You know the story. The guy who had 5 made 5. The guy who had 2 made 2. The guy who had 1 went and buried it, you know, rolled it up in a napkin and buried it in the ground. He spent more time trying to hide it than he would have spent investing it. I'm asking you today, as God's workmanship, are you doing with God's investment what he wants you to do with it? Or have you rolled it up, spied out some land, bought a shovel, dug a hole, put the gift in the hole, covered it back up, found a marker so you wouldn't forget where it was? You see the process the guy went through? I need you to understand, man, that God created you for, with, and on purpose. And today you can begin to realize what that purpose is. You have to be connected to him, to God, through Jesus Christ. I want to tell you that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. There's not another way to get to God except through Jesus. That's not my rule. That's what the Bible says. I need you to understand that you will never be able to realize what your God-ordained purpose is as long as you stay disconnected from him. He created you with purpose. He created you for purpose. He created you on purpose. Grand Pope, I hear you. I hear you. I hear what you're saying. I want to start to live out that purpose in my life. Hey, that's good. How do I do it? Well, it's very simple. I told you it comes through relationship. Remember, we just read the previous two verses. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. How do I do it? The Bible says very plainly that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The Bible says very plainly that God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him would never die but live eternally. The Bible says it very plainly. It says that God demonstrated his love toward us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible says it very plainly that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want to tell you that your God-ordained purpose is connected to the cross of Jesus Christ. And if you would but receive him today, you can begin the process of becoming his masterpiece. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you because you had us so in mind that you created us in your image and in your likeness. Help us to be your image bearer in the earth. Help us to be what you called us to be, fishers of men. Help us to be those who would show forth your praises. Help us to be those who would sing out your praises in such a way that the humble would hear thereof and be glad. God, thank you for creating and designing us with purpose. Thank you that we're not a mistake. Thank you that we're not an afterthought. But thank you that we are your masterpiece. I thank you for this word. I thank you for the fruit that shall come in our lives because of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.